end result. Right there, from the beginning. And it was all, as you mentioned, Quranic.
Mm-hmm.
It Quranic. Was all from the Quran.
Yes.
Okay. Mm. And why do we say this is important? Because explaining this is key.
Mm.
We claim
yes.
that the Quran is reality. The Quran is telling us
of real cause and effect. A real cause and effect, yes.
Okay.
Mm.
Quran is not like a story. It's not like some nice recitation.
Unfortunately.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
There's a point here.
It's a manual.
It's a manual. But the point is, this is the truth of the Quran itself. The Quran itself says that those who study this book or look at this book, for the vast majority, it's a collection of stories. But for those of us who are given insight and wisdom into the book by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like Imam Khomeini, may God bless his great soul, they see lessons in this. Right. They see reality in it. And this is the difference. Unfortunately, most Muslims are like this, that they just take the superficial end of the Quran and they just think that it's just a collection of stories.
Right.
And it doesn't have any relevance or any bearing on the reality of, you know, running a state, for example. Right?
Exactly. And the point is, and the Supreme Leader talks about this as well.
Sure.
And he puts it this way. He says, you either believe and rely on Nusrat-e-Ilahi,
yes.
the help of God,
yes.
on the support of God.
Sure.
Or you believe and rely on something else.
Exactly.
There's no other way. It's either this or that.
It's either this or that.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, and the point is, look, for somebody who's not religious, who doesn't believe in God, whatever.
Mm.
All this stuff that we're saying doesn't have any relevance. We're talking to people who have in their heart and in their life are claiming and showing that they believe in God.
Mm.
Correct?
Correct.
This is what we're assuming.
Exactly.
That when you say that you believe in God, you really do.
Do.
That, you know, when you pray and when you fast and when you're doing those things that you do, that you're doing this because you believe in God and God's power and God's presence in your life and all that.
Sure.
And then suddenly, when it comes to these pressures, suddenly you start doubting.
Mm.
This is what we're talking about.
Mm.
Okay? And again, I'm addressing myself first. I'm not claiming to be better than anyone.
Absolutely.
I'm simply saying that Do you really believe in God's promise? This is what you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay?
Exactly.
This is what you have to ask yourself.
Mm. Do you really believe in God's promise?
Okay?
Mm.
This is the point. God says that he is... And the Supreme Leader, again, mentioned this. He said there is ayah in the Quran. He says that it is incumbent on us. The victory of the moment is incumbent on us. If the moment follows what we say and...
Exactly.
Allah is saying it's incumbent on me.
It's incumbent on me to give you victory. In whatever shape or form
he's doing taklif for himself.
Taklif for himself.
It's wajib for me to give you.
Sure.
If you do these things, it's wajib for me.
Me.
SubhanAllah.
Mm.
Right?
Wonderful.
So why are you scared?
Mm.
Why are you worried if somebody, you know, threatens you with this or that?
That's where you get those wonderful metaphors in the Quran where God says, it wasn't you who threw the arrow, it was I. It wasn't you who threw the stone, it was I who threw the stone.
Exactly. So the point is simply that, you know, when Imam talks about these things, or when he talked about these things so many years ago,
sure.
he hit the nail on the head.
He
it was bullseye.
I keep coming back to that head part again.
Right?
It's bullseye. It's a bullseye.
Right? Yeah. Way back then. None of this, you know, fancy schmancy economic stuff.
Yeah, how much stuff that we're all this analysis.
GDP, PPP, whatever, none of that stuff.
Doing on a power computer laptop to see exactly what it is.
Very clearly, Quranically said, listen, the country that is dependent on others is Zalil.
Is Zalil. It's enslavement.
Exactly. And we can't accept this.
No.
We would rather be walled in and not be disconnected from the rest of the world and grow our own food and eat it ourselves than to be part of this scheme.
Sure.
Again, what's the scheme? The scheme is you give us our oil, you give us your oil for cheap, we will give you whatever stuff you want. There is no dignity in this.
Exactly.
There is no dignity in this.
No.
There is no dignity in this. Mm. Don't be fooled by the expensive cars and the Burj Al Falah, you know.
This is
in Dubai and in Doha, with the branch of University of so-and-so and, you know, the branches of the Louvre. And this is all...
Nonsense.
It's all nonsense.
Because the point is this.
Okay.
And, I mean, I don't need to say... See this.
There's no dignity in this.
You can't buy
dignity
exactly.
from coffer. You can't buy civilization from Anyone.
I mean, the thing is that what I want to point out is that, you know, I don't mean to preach to somebody who's from, you know, from LSE, you know. This is the thing. But at the end of the day, I mean, you tell me, because,
yes.
I mean, I am a layman as far as these things are concerned.
But you are an engineer.
Of course. Yes. But the thing is that, to me, it's all one-sided. That it's a one-way street.
Exactly. It's logical. I mean,
this is logical.
You don't have to be.
It's a one-way street. I mean, you don't have to be a genius to see this.
You don't have to be.
But it's a one-way street. I mean, the moment the oil finishes or the gas finishes in, for example, UAE, that's the end of the story, isn't
it?
It's
only Abu Dhabi that has the oil.
Yeah, whatever.
You saw what happened to Dubai when the financial crisis happened.
It
all blew up.
It all blew up.
And he went back and he said, "Cousin, give me a little cash."
A little bit.
He said, "You know what? I'll give you the cash. Just change the name of the tower." It's no longer Burj Al Arab. It's Burj Al Khalifa.
Burj Al Khalifa.
Right?
My God.
Because
anyway,
I bailed you out.
Staggering economics. But anyway, carry on, sir. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the fact that when these resources are gone, and they're finite, they're limited, once they're gone...
It's about your dignity as a human being.
Being.
It's not about how much, you know, chickens you can stuff in your belly. Okay?
Not true.
Okay.
Very nice.
There's it's called marginal utility. You know, after
marginal
the,
utility.
It's
lovely.
After the
I'm
sixth,
being educated
after
on
the
this
sixth
program,
chicken
yes.
that you stuff in your belly, but you don't really want anymore.
No.
Right? There's a limit.
There's a limit to that. Of course there is.
You understand?
Absolutely.
And it goes down. The more you eat, the less it becomes for most of us.
More most of us.
there are some who can't eat enough, right?
They can't eat enough.
They can't get enough, right?
Yeah, that's a different story.
Okay.
Yes.
So
unless you happen to be Abdul bin Aziz or something like that, in which all the chickens and sheep are consumed.
Right. Where there's a camel, in which there's a sheep. In which there's
a chicken as well.
And I don't know.
I don't know.
You tell me, right?
I haven't seen that.
Right? There's a camel, in which there's a goat, in which there's a sheep. In which there's a, you know,
couple of stuffed chickens or something. Yeah. Sure.
That's how they eat.
Yeah.
That's how they eat.
Yeah.
You know, what can I say? Eat. I wouldn't even call that eating.
I wouldn't call it that.
Right.
I mean, it
I don't
has
know
a whole new
that.
Meaning to the Kalapachi or something. I don't know. I haven't a clue. Anyway, carry on, sir, on this. But you're right, because we don't develop the infrastructure. We don't develop... I mean, the imam is not only talking...
It's not only the material thing. It's who you become as a human being when you do this.
Being, exactly, in terms of the dignity of your nation.
It's about who you become as somebody who is using those blessings, those ni'mat. Mm. And he says it in the quote, I don't know if... You know that we got to that part where he talks about, you know, you're doing kufr ni'mat.
Yes,
you're not dealing with you're not using the blessings that Allah has given you.
Exactly.
You know,
you're misusing them, actually.
Right. And so when that happens, guess what happens? Guess what Allah does then? What does He do? He takes away the blessings.
Of course He does, and He leaves you to yourself.
He says, "I gave you the blessing. You do it.
Go ahead.
You know better than me.
Okay. Go ahead.
Please.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Kay. We'll see how far you get."
It's up to you.
And then he reminds you very nicely in many surahs in the Quran how many a nation has destroyed itself by distancing itself.
I
want to
add a little example here of
example.
It's a little bit, you know, in parentheses, but there, I was reading recently a lot of riwayat. It said that if somebody goes after marrying a woman because of her money, then Allah will leave you to her and her money.
Very nice.
He says, maybe I wanted to give you more money.
Huh? Maybe I wanted to give you more money, but no.
You didn't go after iman. You didn't go marry somebody because of their iman.
Iman or piety or whatever.
Right.
You
went for the money. So it's you and that money.
But it's very nice because, as you say, it's cause and effect.
And
it's the principle of the thing.
And then there's another event. It says you will always be zalim.
You'll not have any dignity or respect.
The money that your wife or her family has to give.
Exactly.
Okay? So it's very similar concept.
It is.
Okay? You want to be dependent on the kufar? Go ahead. Be dependent on them.
Sure.
Okay? Mm-hmm. See what... Or you want to be dependent on me.
Exactly.
Now, this is... Again, if somebody is not religious, somebody doesn't care about God, doesn't even believe in God, whatever, we're not even dealing with you because you don't get it, what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking to people who claim... Who say, we believe in God.
God.
Well, this is where it shows itself. This is where it shows itself. Mm.
So how about a little faith?
Right. And not all this crazy talk about, you know, if we just do this, if we just do that, if they just smile at us, if we just wink at them, you know, if we just, you know, rub a little elbows, and if we just, you know, deal with this, or if you give us a little bit of that, we'll give you a little bit of this. I'm not questioning normal interstate affairs. normal international relations between two states and two governments. This is normal affairs. You talk to everyone, you know, you...
No, that's an entire... Diplomacy is an entirely different
Diplomacy
field.
Is diplomacy. It has its place.
It has its
always,
place.
It's always there. Mm. The point is not to rely... As a Muslim...
As a Muslim.
Don't rely...
In principle.
Don't rely on kafir. Don't rely on your rizq coming from, you know, appeasing the kafir.
Well, the point is this, my friend. The thing is that when we look at the life of the... This is why the life of the Prophet... We have to go back to that. When we look at the life of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, did he do that? I mean, all the kafirs of his time were saying to him, look,
we'll give you everything.
We'll give you everything. We'll give you whatever you want. The most beautiful woman, we'll give you that. You want power and position, we'll give you that. You want to be chief of everything, we'll give you that. We'll give you Makkah even. We'll give you the whole
lot. We'll give you all the money.
But just stop saying what you're saying. Just stop what you're doing, okay? And what did he say? Put the sun in my right hand, put the moon in my left hand. Yeah?
I can't stop.
Need I say any more?
Right. Now, this is the point. Mm. We have these examples. All of us, those who claim to be Muslims, know these stories.
We do.
We've read the Quran. We've read the Rivayat, whether it's Shia or Sunni.
Yes, these are...
Okay? Yeah. We've read them all.
Yeah.
Do we really believe them?
Well,
this is the question. Do we really act on it in our own lives?
When the
rubber hits the road,
when I the like going that. Gets rubber tough, hits the road, yeah.
When the going gets tough,
if the going gets tough.
You know, yeah. I'm not going to use other expressions.
Please don't,
right?
don't, because right? you, other images start coming
exactly.
to mind.
So
yeah.
the point is that,
yeah,
when Imam is talking about this, way back then, okay, he's giving us a principle. He's giving us this the highway. He's giving us.
The road, showing us the road.
A basic fundamental thing, which is, you know, it's better to be self-reliant and to, you know, have to work a little harder and to maybe have less of the things that you really think are really neat and cool.
Unnecessary, yeah.
And, you know, I really want that iPad, you know. Okay, well, maybe you won't get the latest model.
Sure.
Okay, but by the way, can I just say that anything you want in this world, you can find in Iran. Okay, I'm just giving this as a news.
Yeah, as a news.
Okay,
yes,
sanctions has no effect.
I've seen that in Tehran.
Right?
I've seen that in Tehran.
Anything that's produced anywhere
in the
world.
You will find it in Tehran.
You know, 2 days later it's in Tehran.
In 2 days, yeah.
At a reduced price. Okay?
Yes.
At a reduced price of what it's sold in the actual market.
Yeah, of course it is. It's cheaper.
And you understand, right?
I understand it because I've seen that. I've physically seen
it. So, you know, this is not something that's really...
No, you're not making that up.
Right. No. So... I don't know what it is that people are so crazy about. I think it goes back to one thing, which we've talked about many times before, which is that the main way in which Western powers have tried to dominate the Islamic world is through nurturing their own elites in Muslim worlds.
Exactly.
And how do they do that? They do that by making them the representatives of their business affairs in the home country, so that they can get percentages and that they can get the money from selling the Western goods in those countries. And this is how they run the affairs of things, and it's no different in Iran today as it was 40 years ago.
Well, on that note, Dr. Mahdi Tarabi, thank you for that, but we need to review our path on Sirat al-Mustaqim, honestly.
Especially if you say that you follow Imam Khomeini.
Thank you very much indeed for that, sir. And I just say to our listeners, I hope you benefited from the program. Thank you very much for listening. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May the peace and mercy and blessings of Allah be upon you all. Thank you for listening.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
I tell my friends that I think I am a better Christian now that I am a Muslim.
And everywhere my eyes fell, it was as if this Quran was directly talking to
me. Now you're becoming a Muslim. Yes. How did this affect your mom?
In my city, there is only one mosque, it's Shia.
And those who were guided to the right path in moments of realization.
بالعز بالإسلام بالحب الحب نجمع شملنا وشتاتنا كلمة تفرق سادة الأنامل الله أكبر الله أكبر الله 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 أكبر
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of God, the Beneficent, the Merciful Assalamu alaikum. Hello and welcome to our program, Moments of Realization. It's a program where we have a chat with those who have made a decision in their lives that they should go in another direction. And usually this is a path less traveled by. Our guest today is Mr. Ahmed Boyce from the country of Namibia. Assalamu alaikum to you.
Alaikum salam.
Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much.
Are there any greetings you would like to say?
I just want to say with my viewers and listeners in that universal greeting of Islam, Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you very much. Wa alaikum assalam to you too. Today we would like to talk about the various misconceptions that people have about Islam. And I want to start with you. We know from previous programs that you were a Christian and then you became a Sunni and you became a Shia after that. Now, what ideas, impressions did you first have of Shiism?
Thank you very much. To contribute to the question that you have posted to me, is that I was having a very bad picture mm-hmm. about Shia. I pick up this bad picture already in my home country in Namibia.
Okay.
When I was connected to the Sunni brothers, that Sunnis was always claiming that Shia Shia is promulgating
mm-hmm.
that the message
mm-hmm.
was wrongly delivered
mm-hmm.
by the mighty angel Gabriel
okay.
to our beloved prophet,
mm-hmm.
peace and blessings upon him,
okay.
by to Prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And this misconception is so big that even we don't want, in Namibia, it was, we don't want to be in touch with our Shia
mm-hmm.
Followers. To that extent, it was like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the positioning
mm-hmm.
of Imam Ali alayhi salam is also one of the things that Sunnis are always arm themselves. We are equalizing the two positions, equalizing the floor of the ground of our beloved prophet with Imam Ali alayhi salam.
The Sunnis are saying that the Shias were doing it. The Shias did this.
Yeah, the Shias saying Prophet and Imam Ali
are the same.
Are the same,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And they have they there is no difference between them.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So these were the misconceptions that you became aware of, and what happened for these misconceptions to fade away, and for you to decide that you want to be a Shia?
Exactly, these conceptions must be erased through proper reading.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to delete these things, you need to imbibe yourself in reading and connect yourself with the rightful people, rightful information, which I did in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is just small differences we are claiming, but we are worshiping to the one person. We have got the one prophet. What has happened? When was prophet assigned to get this mission? And in which state was Ali, that Ali Salam in that time? Was he grown up or was he still underage? And when you look at these things, really, the when Imam Ali alayhi salam accepted even the religion, then you need to know something is fishing somewhere. Someone is cheating somewhere, somebody. So according to this, through proper reading and through reading the right books and through comparing our in-house situation, Islam is our, they are claiming Islam is for them. We are claiming we are Islam is for us. But to compare which one is the right one, to evaluate. I did that over evaluation and I come to that conclusion. No, this way is more better and more beneficial for me. And that is through reading, through in touch of the right people. Because you can get anywhere education, but is it the right right education you are getting? Right education you are picking up? So these are the things. And I'm very glad today to share these things with my viewers and in general the communities outside there, that connect yourself to the faith, imbibe yourself in reading, connect yourself to the right people, and you will be directed rightly.
That's right. Okay, now there are other groups that also promote certain misconceptions about Islam. For example, there are other groups, for example, the Wahhabis. Now, do you have them in your country, Namibia, and what is their activity there?
Wahhabis, we have them in my country. Especially, they are also promulgating the message of Islam. They are also mobilizing. They are also in social development. But that barrier between Wahhabi and Shia, in Namibia, it's more bigger, maybe, than Iran. Because after I visited that mosque, I was late for prayer. To run to my mosque.
This is in Namibia?
In Namibia.
Okay.
And I used Mugh. I was just immediately removed. No, brother, this is not your place to pray here.
They wouldn't let you pray in the mosque?
No, they don't. Okay. So that barrier is very significant in my country. That we are really like enemies. Exactly, the process that they are using is they have got means, and they partake in the development structures of the government.
This is very important.
And that is the penetration of them. They are penetrating through that projects, development projects. And they enjoy that recognition from our government, and even the government, some of the government people are not knowing that there is greater differences also in our sex, but we are just silent, silent.
Right, but they all they didn't allow you to pray in the masjid. But there are other. What other views do they have about Shias?
As I said earlier, the view that they have about Shia.
I guess they think Shias are not Muslims, because then if they accepted you as a Muslim, of course they would let you pray.
the point we are reasoning, we all are Muslims. When we come back to that reasoning of unity, why we are not united?
Mm-hmm.
There is a certain thing behind that. I was told that I go to the unbelievers. Shia followers are unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in that criteria I'm talking about,
mm-hmm.
it is really very bad that we are Muslims, but these elaborations.
But still, you're considered an unbeliever.
And they claim that we are.
Okay.
The unbelievers, but we are the ones who are always making that effort
mm-hmm.
for unity, mm-hmm. unilateral cooperation among mm-hmm. us, but they are the ones who are always
they're pulling back.
They really pulling back.
Mm-hmm.
Due to these factors, I was coming to that conclusion that maybe the power mindset, mm-hmm. power struggle mindset,
mm-hmm.
is maybe creating this.
Mm-hmm.
Because somehow, there must be a rightful owner. Even I was defending Shia that even Islam, that Islam is the religion of Allah.
Mm-hmm.
No one is the owner of Islam.
Mm-hmm.
And if there is that type of conception that somebody is owning Islam, then you are on the wrong boat.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Because Islam, the only owner is Allah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. But still, we have got this type of attitude from our brothers.
Right. Uh-huh. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Ahmed Boyce. Please stay with us.
Blessings from above descend ceaselessly on Medina. People feel the joy, people feel the love in the city of Rasulullah. A perfect path he laid for everyone. He lived and died for us. What have I done? I have forsaken his life, I have abandoned his way. Oh Allah, now my time has come. Deep in my heart I feel a change has begun. Deep in my soul I feel the warmth of the sun. Burning bright with Iman on the road to Ihsan. All my obstacles I will overcome. Peace be upon Rasulullah. Peace be upon Habibullah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Peace be upon Shafi'ullah. Peace be upon Khair Khalqillah. Peace be upon Muhammad. La astabiyya. Without his sunnah we disgraced. People rushing in order to embrace the rahmah that Allah sends down to this place, to the city of Medina. Every language and color you can see, there is unrivaled hospitality. And dates that's as sweet as the smile of a child, though I feel so unworthy. Peace be upon Rasulullah. Peace be upon Habibullah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Peace be upon Shafi'ullah. Peace be upon Khair Khalqillah. Peace be upon Muhammad. La astabiyya. Oh, how my mind races back in time to the day in Medina he arrived. And the people came running happily outside to welcome the messenger. For his call was to worship the one, their hearts united with the beating of the drum. And the children were singing praises to him. I wish I could have been there with them.
Welcome back. We are here with Mr. Ahmed Boyce from Namibia. Could you tell me, first of all, how did you come by the name Ahmed? You were born a Christian, so I don't believe it's the name your mother gave you.
Really, it's true that this is not the name from my childhood.
Right.
But when I embraced the Islam, then I was given names.
Mm-hmm.
Choose from these ones. And because reasoning is, I was not even thinking that it is connected to someone, but I choose the name without any additions. Let me say additions, without any additions, without any thinking.
Okay.
I selected the name.
You just saw the name and you selected it.
I selected the name after all somebody explained to me.
Okay.
What is the core, who was the carrier, and what is the meaning of the name itself.
Can you tell us?
The name, exactly as I was explained, when Prophet Isa was finishing his mission, and he must depart or went back to the authority who sends him.
Right.
Then he delivered, or he said with his companions, this is not the right time to share this information with you. But they, if I go back, somebody will come and console you to the end. And that person, the name of that person is Ahmed. And Ahmed, from that time, is a, what should I say, a spirit or counselor, companion. And after that, our prophet's name is also, one of the prophet's names is also Ahmed.
So you fell in love with the name?
Exactly, exactly.
Okay. Now we were discussing misconceptions that people have about Islam. Now we know there are lots of misconceptions surrounding women in Islam. Can you discuss some of these with us and help us to see the true meaning, the true position of women in Islam?
In Islam, the placement of women is at the right place.
Okay.
Today I am a fortunate person to observe that our women has got such kind of precious place in comparing to, as a believer, men and women. There is only one thing that makes the difference between men and women, and that is the piety. So Islam already guaranteed this for us. But still, there is enemies outside which are working 24 hours a day to spoil our not informed societies outside. But when it comes to Islam, let me touch on the most common one in Namibia, the dressing. We are always accused that why you people, why Muslim men is dressing as they want, and women are always in full cover. Only small parts are visible. Why?
Okay, you know, hold on to that, okay? We're going to take a break, and when we come back, you tell us the answer to that question. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll be discussing hijab.
Peace be upon Rasulullah. Peace be upon Habibullah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Peace be upon Shafi'ullah. Peace be upon Khair Khalilah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Last of the standing before him, I realize that I have strayed. Oh Allah, give me the strength to mend my ways. With tears in my eyes, I sincerely pray. Deep in my heart, I feel a change has begun. Deep in my soul, I feel the warmth of the sun. Burning bright with Iman on the road to Ihsan. All my obstacles I will overcome. Peace be upon Rasulullah. Peace be upon Habibullah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Peace be upon Shafi'ullah. Peace be upon Khair Khalqillah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Peace be upon Rasulullah. Peace be upon Habibullah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Peace be upon Shafi'ullah. Peace be upon Khair Khalqillah. Peace be upon Muhammad. Last of
Welcome back. We are here with Mr. Ahmed Boyce from Namibia, and we are discussing hijab.
First of all, to be covered.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are thinking that you are limited.
Yes.
To be covered, some of them are thinking that we are limited or we limited somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are free of they are thinking that it is not free. But vice versa. If you look at the traditions and the historical records, even in the Bible, women when she goes out in the community, when she attends to the temples,
mm-hmm.
she must be covered properly. It's not just Islam. These are the universal issues, but people are pointing fingers always to us. But hijab is a beautiful covering. If I marry, and I my dowry is a diamond ring, that diamond ring is in a very beautiful box. The ring is covered in that box. I came and present it to the rightful person. Not to everyone, to the rightful one, so that ring must be put in at the right finger. Right finger of my choice.
Mm-hmm.
That is the concept some people must understand when we are saying our women must be properly covered. Because that covering, she is a very precious thing, precious ornament. Let me use that word. A precious ornament which needs to be covered. Because when you are connected, when you are even married to a lady, then you fulfill half of your religion. So from that point, and from to cover our societies, I think hijab is more safer not limits, more safer than as people are claiming outside, that hijab is a limitation. And from the other point of view, is it to be sexy to be naked? Is it to be on billboards than to be recognized that you are beautiful? Is what type of beauty is there? Even I told my sisters, some of the Muslim ladies are just covering the face. All the other things we didn't see, but just that eyes, that shape of the face, already told you, oh, this one is a marvelous creation. Now what about the others? You see, life is always connected to surprises, and women is a bigger surprise for us. So these are one of the philosophies behind. Mm-hmm. Hijab is protecting. Hijab is protecting the society. Hijab is protecting the family. Hijab is protecting the religion. Hijab is protecting Allah. Why? If we are not protecting Allah here on this earth, who is going to protect Allah? Allah protects himself, but he assigned us to be the guardians, to safeguard that beauty. And hijab protects that beauty. Assigned by Allah to his beloved followers. So I am fully agree that hijab is not a limitation as claimed by the enemies. And let me emphasize, hijab is the best umbrella in terms of family, in terms of religion, because in Namibia there is no hijab. Religion is not a religion. Family is not a family. The mother is so much so precious, and she is the root. The root cause, why is alcoholism so higher in Namibia? Something went wrong with the roots, and that one is
the hijab. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. Our guest today has been Mr. Ahmed Boyce from Namibia, discussing with us various misconceptions that exist among our brothers and sisters that they might have about Islam, and showing us how we can eradicate these and the value of hijab and its the philosophy behind it. Thank you for joining us, and join us again for our next program. Goodbye for now.
Hello, welcome to The Light. A family therapist in the U.S. state of California has come up with a brilliant idea to calm her angry clients, and that's a rage room. Yashika offers stressed people a smash session. The participants are allowed to destroy different items with a hammer, golf club, or baseball bat. They are required to wear protective gloves and face shields. During the session, the therapist also tries to teach the participants different ways to manage their stress in a healthy way.
So it's actually the first rage room to incorporate a therapeutic aspect. So when people come in, they're not just coming in to break stuff. They're really coming in to get the tools and techniques they need to manage stress and health in a healthy manner, in a healthy way.
Yashika hopes the smash therapy will be largely accepted as a productive way to release tension. The idea was originally a simple stress reliever for everyday problems, but it was warmly received after everything started shutting down due to the pandemic. An Australian conservation group says it will build the world's first ever platypus refuge facility.
We're also going to build a platypus refuge, one of its kinds around the world. This refuge will be able to take up to 65 platypuses in a time of crisis. Right now there is so much to learn about the platypus, and we know so little. These facilities will be critical in building our knowledge so that we don't let this iconic creature slip off the earth.
Platypuses are among Australia's most unique and elusive animals. They're normally found across the country's eastern seaboard. The strange-looking creatures are the only remaining representatives of their family. They spend most of their lifetime underwater and alone. Australian authorities say the planned refuge facility can give them more information about the animal's preferred environment and breeding. Many habits of the platypuses have remained a mystery to researchers. Hungry for music? You can now order a concert instead of a pizza if you live in the German city of Frankfurt. Members of Frankfurt's Philharmonic Orchestra have decided to help music lovers now that concert halls are closed due to the pandemic. They offer short personal concerts at people's staircases for free. Instead, Frankfurt residents can donate money to the musicians, who say the main goal is to revive the creative industry.
We play miniature concerts in people's homes of about 10 minutes, and we deliver along a route in our neighborhood so that people can enjoy some live music. For us, it's just beautiful being able to play for people again. What's great and absurd about this concept at the same time is that we play in order to keep a distance, yet we are so much closer than in a conventional concert hall, and that makes it so wonderful for us.
Those who ordered the concerts have called their experience delightful. They say the music delivery service has filled the void of the closure of theaters and music halls. The personal concerts can be booked online, performers observe health protocols and social distancing too. A rare black rhino calf becomes an internet celebrity as a video of her first wobbly steps has gone viral. The cute baby was born last week at Adubo Zoo in New South Wales, Australia. The newborn, yet to be named, has three siblings. Her mother is 18 years old and her father passed away a few months ago. Zookeepers watched the calf and her mother through cameras in order to create a proper atmosphere for them to make bond. The species is critically endangered because of poaching and habitat loss. Sophisticated scanning technology is revealing new secrets about Littlefoot. That's a well-preserved fossil of an early human forerunner dating back to nearly 3.7 million years ago.
Now, the importance of it is not only that it is the only complete skull of an Australopithecus from anywhere, but it is the only one with a complete skeleton as well. Furthermore, it is the oldest Australopithecus in southern Africa, dating to 3.67 million years ago. So it tells us a lot about our early ancestry. Now, we're not saying that Littlefoot represents a direct ancestor to modern humans, but certainly a relative, certainly a very close relative of our ancestors.
The fossil was found in South Africa in the 1990s. It's now being studied at a particle accelerator facility in Oxfordshire, Britain. The facility allows scientists to produce X-ray images of the fossil with extreme detail. They say the result has been fascinating.
The bone microstructure look amazing because we can really see the different tissues, the proportions, the thickness, and also the size of the different canals. So all of this make, I think for me, make Littlefoot more like a living person.
So far, scientists have found that Littlefoot stood on her feet. They know she had gorilla-like features such as powerful hands, which enable her to climb trees. But she also had different traits compared to the human species believed to have first appeared 300,000 years ago. A Nigerian artist has become famous for his skills in creating art from coconut shells. Nathaniel Hodonu uses the shells to make stunning artworks in different forms, including portraits and sculptures, as well as home accessories. He collects shells from local oil factories, which throw them away as waste. He began his work in 2006 after his art teacher gave him two coconuts as a present. Odonu now teaches art lovers creative ways to transform waste coconut shells into beautiful handicraft.
Tourism in Oman took a nosedive during the COVID-19 pandemic, sadly, much like many places in the world. But one village managed to turn its fortunes around by transforming some ancient homes into hotels and touristic attractions. Nestled in the high mountains of Oman, the village of Misfat al-Ibrahim offers some of the most beautiful and serene natural areas for trail running and rock climbing. Now the village has repurposed ancient mud brick homes into boutique hotels. The beige-colored homes with walls of handmade mud brick are elegant and simple, and the interior spaces are furnished with traditional wood and textiles.
Misfat al-Ibrahim attracts many tourists, so people and project owners in the village have planned on expanding touristic projects. You'll find heritage hotels, popular cafes and restaurants. We, as a company, decided to provide various adventure-related activities too.
The centuries-old homes were renovated for safety and comfort to combine old Omani life with modern amenities. The village is near what is called Oman's Grand Canyon and has somewhere around 800 residents. Many tourists have visited the area because of the heritage hotels and environmental components in the ancient village. These inns have attracted many tourists to the area despite the COVID-19 pandemic. Almost everyone has seen snowmen, but how many people have encountered a snow snake in their lifetime? A family in the US has awed their neighborhood with a fascinating ice sculpture of a serpent. The household in Colorado spent 10 hours making the impressive artwork in their front yard. They first created the shape of the animal and then sprayed paint on it to bring it to life. The sculpture measures 23 meters in length. It has attracted many neighbors and passers-by who occasionally take pictures with it. This is not the first time the family made headlines with their ice work. In 2019, they caught people's eyes with an ice sculpture of a tiger. A giant ice disc with an even greater message. Here, people in Finland have carved a humongous carousel in Lake Lapajärvi to raise awareness about global warming. An inventor and a team of helpers spent days in sub-zero temperatures to create what they say is the world's largest ice carousel. The rotating machine is over 300 meters wide and is spun by motorboats. The makers also carved another smaller disc in the ice next to it. The two carousels were commissioned by local authorities who want to bring attention to climate change and shortening winters in Finland. An iceberg the size of Greater London breaks off in Antarctica years after the first cracks appeared. The iceberg detached from the Brunt ice shelf near a British research station and is expected to either move away or run aground not far from the ice shelf. Scientists were expecting the calving of the iceberg to happen after monitoring the area with GPS instruments and satellite imagery on a daily basis. They discovered the first cracks almost 10 years ago, but they are skeptical about the role of climate change in this case.
A unique remnant of bygone days. Archaeologists have found a rare ancient Roman ceremonial carriage outside Pompeii. The carriage was unearthed near the stables of a village just outside the very city. It has four wheels and is made of iron, bronze, and tin. The vehicle is the first of its kind discovered in the area. Italy's culture minister has called it a unique find without any precedent in the country. Pompeii was buried under ash and a volcanic eruption in 79 AD. So far, about two-thirds of the ancient city has been uncovered, I should say. The lights, merriment, and traditional food. That's what China's Lantern Festival has brought to millions of people across the country.
Loneliness can hit anyone at any time, but it becomes severe during the pandemic-like scenario the world is going through. But some Japanese are enjoying the companionship of robots to overcome loneliness as they are unable to meet their loved ones during the coronavirus. The cute singing snowman is called Charlie. He is one among a large number of new generation clever robots being produced in Japan. Manufacturers are making a wide variety of affordable androids as well as robotic pets, and they say their sales are booming. They also say their products have found favor with customers of all ages, not just kids. Studies have shown that therapeutic pets can bring comfort to dementia patients. That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
This is Back to Reality.
Back to Reality.
It's the show where we discuss the most topical of topics, the most controversial of controversies, and the most important affairs of affairs.
Roundtable from Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners. Welcome back to Reality, right here exclusively on IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Mudaffar Haider. Here in the studio today, we have with us two very special guests. So on my right-hand side, we have... Assalamu alaikum, Sayyid.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. This is Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi, and it is nice to be here.
And on my left side...
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's always a pleasure to be with you here, brother Mudaffar. Oh, my name, brother Yasir.
So we have this verse in the Qur'an... في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. In their hearts is a disease, so Allah increases their disease. Now, what is the disease that Allah is talking about?
You know, we all have the capability to sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's a part of free will.
Mm.
Right? All of us have it. Even the ma'asumin had the ability, they had free will. This is something that we need to understand, that isma that they were given is not that free will was taken away from them.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, a detailed discussion, but they, because of certain other factors, that free will was only used in a particular way. They were used their free will in a particular way. However, we don't have those factors because we are very low.
Mm-hmm.
So that free will, we have the ability to sin. So therefore, we all have that maraz, whether it be dormant, or, you know, as you say, bilquwa is there. It has the potential. A certain thing in the outside world may then initiate it, wherever it may be. One of the things is this. This is one example. It's a misdaq, or a reference, or an instant of where this maraz can come out.
Yeah.
So, for example, unfortunately, a lot of people do not understand the concept of hijab is, or whether it be voice, whether it be hair, is not just for you, sister. It is for that person also.
Yes.
It's the... You're not assisting yourself, you're assisting their brother also to go to paradise, and yourself. So don't look at it as something that is specific or individual.
There is something else to add on, obviously, to this, the example that brother has given. And,
which was beautifully expanded upon.
Beautifully expanded. And, you know, the way Quran is clearly talking and explaining about our, you know, the characteristics that a human being have. And we can see this in today's world as well. For example, the words that you just mentioned, you know, في قلوبهم مرض فزادهم الله مرضا. They have sickness in their heart and Allah increases in their sickness. The very next verse says like, وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ لَا تُفْسِدُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ.
Subhanallah.
And when Allah says, and when it is said to them, do not corrupt or do corruption on the earth, قَالُوا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ مُصْلِحُونَ.
We are only peacemakers, or we're only reformers.
We are the reformers. We are the right people. Ala innahum humul mufsidun. Definitely, let it be known that they, these people who have these marad, they are the mufsidun, they are the corrupt people. Walakin la yash'urun. You know, in today's world, if you look at the things that are going on, the oppression that is going on, you can see they say, we are the reformers.
Yes.
We are, for example, going to the specific country to reform.
We are bringing democracy.
Yeah, democracy.
We are bringing democracy.
Freedom.
Freedom, democracy,
liberty.
I don't know. Liberty, all these things they are saying, and they say like we are the reformers.
Hmm.
Whereas we all know that they are the actual corrupt people.
Hmm.
They are after corruption. They are after stealing the, you know, the national resources of the countries.
Hmm.
And this is very much clear in the Quran. And here is that Allah says, فَزَادَهُمُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا. You know why they're after all these things? Because they are mufsidun. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ آمِنُوا. Now this is very interesting, like the next verse, verse number 13. Whenever it is said to them, like, to believe,
yeah,
like, be Muslim or believe, كَمَا آمَنَ النَّاسِ, the way other people have believed, قَالُوا أَنُؤْمِنُ كَمَا آمَنَ السُّفَحَ, they say, shall we believe like the fools?